titles Prayer and Presence. And I want to continue to talk about prayer. I know last time I was here, I talked about prayer. And the passage is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Again, as a Christian, you're the temple of God. And there's so much power as a church because we're all coming together, you know, releasing the presence of the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So in the church, as a church, we're supposed to usher in the presence of God, the presence of God. And Jesus here gives us an example, okay? And the example that, how did he do, you know, what did he do? He prayed. And I will pray to the Father, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, okay? To help you. And it says here, to be with you forever, to be with you forever. And God's people said, you know, as a pastor of Catalyst, I always pray for God's presence in this church. You know, I always pray for God's presence in the church. And, you know, I realize if you don't pray, you still could have a big church with a lot of activities and programs and stuff. But that's not what we want for Catalyst. That's not what we want. But what we want is to see breakthrough in people's lives. We want to see transformation. We want to see the church overcome the spiritual battle. We want to see healing. We want to see people being set free. We want to disciple this community and beyond. And we want to see a revival, a great revival. And for this to happen, we need God's presence. We need God's presence. And if this is your desire to have this kind of encounter with God, encounter that manifests the presence of God in Catalyst, the church must pray. Okay? The church must pray. And that's my first point. Prayer is a non-negotiable for God's presence. Okay? Prayer is a non-negotiable for God's presence. And as I preach again about prayer, I know some might be thinking, I'm not sure, not again, not again. Pastor Sam is giving another sermon on prayer, But I'm going to share a secret with you. If you go back to all the sermons, go to YouTube, okay, and go back to all the sermons that I did all the way back to when I had long hair, right? I'm going to share with you something that I'm not that creative, okay? I kind of give the same message over and over and over again. I mostly preach on few basic topics, just basic topic, okay? Like evangelism and missions, healing, inner healing and soul care, about spiritual warfare, about relationship with God and relationship with one another, discipleship, about scripture, the Bible, the importance of truth, and prayer. That's pretty much it. If you go back to all the sermons that I preach at Catalyst, and you looked at, if you went and just listened to all the sermons that I did, I don't know, 52 sermons, 48 to 52 sermons a year, and it's been like, what, 13 years? That's pretty much the basic theme that you will hear me preach. You know, but that's kind of encouraging because you don't have to focus on thousands of things or hundreds of things to grow spiritually. Just the basics. If you just do the basic, you will grow spiritually. there will be transformation, there will be breakthrough, God will become more real in your life. You will draw closer to the Lord, there will be Holy Spirit fruit in your life. And prayer, prayer is essential. Okay, that's why I preach on it so many times. It is foundational. It is non-negotiable. Prayer is a topic. If you go back, I hit again and again and again. So you, as a church, will see how important prayer is. I spend a lot of time preparing to figure out how to inspire you to pray. I spend much time to present prayer in many ways so that it won't be old to you. So that important, essential spiritual thing of prayer will not become old to you. Why do I do that? Okay, why do I do that? So that you will pray. Okay, so that you will pray. So Catalyst will be a praying church. I try to inspire you to pray, encourage you to pray. I try to make prayer practical. Gave you many reasons why we should pray. Went through the Bible about prayer. I even try to model prayer. Okay? Model to you prayer. Prayer life. And if you are still not praying, okay, after so many sermons, teachings, and encouragement and modeling, and I say this in love. Okay? I say this in love. It's not my fault anymore. it's not my fault. I tried. I really tried. Okay? But for 2023, my challenge to Catalyst, take responsibility for your prayer life. Right? Say that to your neighbor. Take responsibility for your prayer life. Right? You know, For me, I'm just going to, you know, share some personal thing about my prayer life. You know, I fast regularly every week, about 2 days, you know, out of the 7 days a week, I fast. And it's, there's a part of me, I do that to lose weight. Okay, there's that part of me. Uh-huh. When I fast, what happens is it really helps me reset spiritually. And I realize I have to do this in a regular way to help me to reset spiritually so that it resets my prayer life. That's why I do it. I schedule prayer. I take long walks to pray. I found trails. I know every trails in this area, all the trails. I found trails that inspires me to pray. I read daily devotion that reminds me the importance of prayer, you know. But when my prayer life becomes weak and dry, I don't blame anyone. I don't blame anyone. Okay? I take responsibility for my prayer life. And the Bible, John 15, verse 4 to 5, God says prayer is non-negotiable. Remain in me. Okay? That's prayer. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The reason prayer is non-negotiable is because prayer is a relationship between you and God. That's what connects you between you and God. Prayer. Right? When you pray, you come into God's presence. You're connected to Jesus when you pray. This is the biblical view of prayer. You connect to Jesus when you pray. Right? You're not praying to the wall. Right? The devil wants to make prayer legalistic. He wants your prayer life to be a ritual, a performance, right? Not this connection. Because when we know the biblical view of prayer is a connection to Jesus, he's the vine, I'm the branch, and when we're connected, his life flows to us. Right? And if you don't pray, okay, you're not connected to God. You know, but somebody might be thinking right now, because I'm talking about the presence of God, right? The presence of God. Somebody might be thinking, Pastor Sam, doctrinally, God is everywhere, right? God is everywhere, and you are right. God is everywhere. Yes, that is true. But the branch cut off could be near the vine, but it's not connected. Right? It's not connected. When I talk about prayer and God's presence, I'm talking about a deep connection with God, not just, you know, this presence doctrinally that God is everywhere. Prayer connects you to God, vine and branch connection. And if you're not connected to the vine, there's no fruit. You're not taking hold of God's power here on earth. You're not able to do God's will here on earth. You want to do God's will? You want to usher in or hold the power of God? You want God's will to be done here on earth. Right? And we can all do this if you pray, if we're connected to the Lord. You know, when you pray, God moves through you. You will encounter God's power in your life. There will be transformation, and God will use you to change the people around you. Wow. And you will win spiritual warfare. But again, the enemy will tempt you to make prayer legalistic, a ritual. You know, and when you pray, see God as a vending machine, or you're just praying to the wall. That's how much the devil will pervert your prayer. And the thing is, the more you're connected, more you abide in Christ, greater will be the presence of God in your life. Greater will be the presence of God in your life. People will change around you. And it doesn't stop there. But what the Bible talks about is, okay, you're so connected. The presence of God is moving through you so much that God can use you to change nations. Wow, what the Bible, I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm just trying to change this church. I'm not there yet. But what the vision that God gives about connecting with him and his presence is unlimited. Right? It's unlimited. It's unlimited. Right? Point number two, prayer makes you ready for God's presence. Right? Prayer makes you ready for God's presence. There's a parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and there were 10 virgins waiting to meet the bridegroom, and then to meet with the bridegroom and go to this wedding banquet, right? And the parable says 5 virgins were ready for the bridegroom. They had enough oil, they didn't fall asleep. And so when the bridegroom came, they met with the bridegroom and went with him to the wedding banquet. And once they were in the banquet, they shut the door. But 5 other wasn't ready for the bridegroom. They were not ready for God's presence. That's what it's saying. They were not ready for the presence of God. They missed the bridegroom and the wedding banquet. The door was shut. And then they woke up, oh, man, we're too late. And they ran, knocked on the banquet hall, the door, and there was a reply. Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Okay? To the 5 that wasn't ready was saying, I don't have a relationship with you. There is no connection. There's no presence. Why did they miss the bridegroom and the wedding banquet? The Bible says they fell asleep. Right? And they didn't have oil for their lamp. They were not ready for God's presence. And in the context, as I study that parable, I really believe it's talking about prayer. They fell asleep. Another word, okay, you're going to see it again and again in the Bible. When they fall asleep, what it means is they didn't pray. Okay, spiritually, you fell asleep. You didn't pray. And Jesus warns at the end of the parable, okay, at the end of this parable, therefore, keep watch. Okay. But in the Bible, keep watch is another word for pray. Pray. Keep watch. And we see in Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have posted watchmen on the wall, people who will pray, a person who will pray. That's the watchman on the wall. How do I know it's talking about prayer? Because it says they will never be silent. Day or night. Biblical teachings on prayer is always pray. Don't cease in praying. Continue to pray. They will never be silent day or night. And you who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest. Yes, we have the spiritual rest in God, but prayer, okay? Prayer is not this rest. Prayer is like breathing. You don't stop breathing. You continue to breathe. And this watchman on the wall, okay, somebody who prays, is not sleeping. If someone who is always praying, the city, they fell asleep, meaning they did not pray. Watchman on the wall is always ready. Why are they always ready? Because they pray. They're prayer warriors. And in Matthew 26, the disciples of Jesus, before Jesus was crucified, Jesus was praying, but his disciples fell asleep and continued to fall asleep. And Jesus woke them up and asked his disciple, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Again, biblically, that word watch, what he was saying was, couldn't you have just prayed with me for 1 hour? But the disciple fell asleep. They were not ready. They didn't pray. Jesus was crucified, and the disciples ran away. People think, okay, that some, okay, this is the way, okay, this is how some people think. Okay, we need to be spiritually strong, we're inspired, we feel good, we're spiritually ready, then we will pray. Right? No, the biblical teachings on prayer, when you pray, you become ready. It's the opposite. Huh? It's the opposite. And you see, when you pray, you become ready. Say, you feel weak. Somebody might think, okay, well, I feel weak. I'm not going to pray. I'll wait till I feel strong, and then I will pray. No. Biblical view of prayer, when you are weak, that's when you pray. And then you will encounter the presence of God. You will connect with God, and God will help you in your weakness. Okay? You're in bondage, spiritual bondage. Okay? Once I'm set free, then No. The biblical view of prayer, you're in bondage. Okay? You pray, and God's presence will make the evil spirit flee. You're confused, right? There's so much confusion. There's so many things going on, so many shaking in your life. You're confused. Well, let's wait till all the confusion is gone, and then Biblical view, you pray, and God will speak to you. God will give you revelation. God will guide you. God will direct you. like everybody, we're all on the same, we're broken. We're broken. Let's go see a counselor, let's read a healing book, and then once we feel better, no, you're broken. We pray. And God's presence will comfort you. He will love you. And God will heal you. Amen. Point number three. Prayer represents God's presence. Okay? Prayer represents God's presence. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasion. The charismatic church interpret that as pray in the Spirit means you need to pray in tongue. Okay, you need to pray in tongue. I don't believe that's what it means. Just literally, pray in the Spirit. Pray in God. That's what it means, right? Okay? Pray in God. It's capital S. It's not talking about spiritual gifts. Pray in God. When you pray, I know that you are representing God. Did you guys get that? When you pray, know that you are representing God. When we pray, we become the image of God. Wow. You become the image of God. You become more like Him when you pray. Right? More than preaching well, right? More than leading worship well, when you pray, you become more and more like Christ. Right? I thought, wow, because I can't, you know. Like I have no musical talent. If that's the only way, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. No, it says when you pray, you become more like Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 26. Then God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. Okay? They may rule. And I was thinking about that. You know, this verse talks about how you and I are created in God's image and likeness. And one of the, you know, thing about being made in His image and likeness, we're to rule God's creation. Okay? We are to rule God's creation. That's why, you know, the animals came to Adam and He named them. There's this authority that God gave to us, even to name the animals. And to take care, but it was to take care of the garden. Right? Ruling in God's kingdom is about taking care, not using and abusing. Right? So this rule is not that we become gods. This ruling doesn't mean abusing God's creation or using God's creation for our selfish gain. Our selfish gain. But this ruling is representing God to God's creation. Okay? And what does that mean to represent God to God's creation? We are to represent God's image and likeness to the creation by becoming God's mediator. God's go-between. What's another word for mediator? Go-between. Prayer. Prayer. We present, meaning present again, our prayer present again the presence of God. Our prayer releases. Prayer is an act of partnering with God. Okay? Not to abuse and selfishly use God's creation, but partnering, God said, I could do it myself. Right? But because I love you so much, I'm going to partner with you. And the way we partner with God to release His presence in the created world around us. We represent, we become the mediator, go between. How is it going to be done? This is how important prayer is, by prayer. Okay? By prayer. God chose from the time of creation to work on earth through you and me, not independent of us. So when you and I pray, when the church pray, we're not, when we pray, it means we're not going our own way. We're connected to God. In that connection, we know the will of God. And in that connection, we do the will of God. And that, and prayer is a tool to help us to do that. If you don't pray, you're going to go your own way. What? By prayer. We represent God. We present, again, God's presence to the world. Prayer shows this partnership with God and us. Prayer is a representation of how much God wants to work with us. And you see that in scripture. And again, isn't God's sovereignty? He didn't have to, he doesn't need you and me. The Bible says he could even, if he wants, he could make the rock cry out. Right? Yeah, he doesn't, but it's because he loves you and me. And because he wants our lives to be transformed. He doesn't want to look at me, God's going, look at me, what I could do. And you know what I found out? A church leader, if that's their attitude, just look at me, what I could do, they will hurt the church a lot in the long run. Look what I could do. But what God taught me as a church leader is, how can I raise you guys up? What can I do so that you guys rise up? That's the healthiest model for the church. That's God's heart. He doesn't go, just look at me, what I could do, and applaud me. No. I love you so much. I sent my only son, Jesus, to die for you so that you will be redeemed. And so that we could have this partnership, connection, and relationship. So that my spirit would dwell in you. And your life will be transformed. You will be healed. You'll be redeemed. There will be anointing on your life. And you'll have a purpose in this world. Okay? And that partnership between God is represented in prayer. Okay? It's in prayer. It will show, if you don't pray, you don't really care about that kind of partnership. It's just what I can do. But those who pray, it shows this gospel message, this faith, this partnership between you and God. And in God's sovereignty, he made it so that we have to work together. Huh? Again, God didn't need it, but if you look at the scripture, this is how I interpret scripture. God needing faithful man, faithful woman in scripture. God needing this race, this nation to whom to work through. God needing prophets and judges. God needing human hands to heal, human voice to speak, and human feet to go. And throughout scripture, prayer shows that partnership between God and us. Prayer shows that we're representing God. That's why in Matthew 6, God tells us to pray for his kingdom to come, his will be done. I mean, doesn't God know that that we should do his will? Doesn't God know that it's good for, we see his will being done on earth as it is done in heaven? Yes, he knows that. But he's partnering with us. That's why I said, pray. God tells us to pray for our daily bread in Matthew 6:11. God tells us to pray that laborers will be raised up and sent. Doesn't God? He knows that. But prayer is a partnership between God and us. Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified. Doesn't God know? Doesn't he want that? That the souls will be saved and the gospel message will be understood and it will spread and people will come to the Lord? Yes, he wants that. But what prayer means, it's not that God doesn't know. Prayer is a partnership between God and us. In the sovereignty of God, God chose to work on earth through you and me, not independent of us. Prayer is a partnership. And you know, I think, again, God gave you this passion. It's beautiful, you know. There's friends that I know that God gave them the passion to go into full-time ministry. God gave some of you passion to more go into the medical field, to become doctors and nurses, to help people. Some of you to influence the culture by going into Hollywood or, you know, music. Or that's all beautiful. It's all beautiful. You know, you want to see breakthrough. You want to see reconciliation with family. You want to see revival in the city. You want to see transformation of lives. Right? Well, God says, I want to partner with you to do this. Right? If you don't pray, it's not going to happen. You know, God told Elijah he wanted to send rain. What, you know what Elijah had to do? 7 times, get back and forth to pray. 7 times. 7 times. And Elijah prayed, the Bible says, and it rained. Was, you know, did God need Elijah to send rain? No. But he wants a partnership. And prayer is the very act of partnering with God. And God's people said, amen. I hope you're inspired to pray.